So today is actually the little novena of the ninth day of Christmas. And we think about all the gifts we've received, but most importantly, the gift that we've given to Christ. What have we given to Christ? I thank all of you for taking the time to give Christ the greatest gift, your presence, to be with him, as well as taking the time to honor his mother and ours, which is the meditation for today. We're going to look at both the sorrowful and the glorious mysteries, as well as think about the great insult of not telling people about the knowledge and love of Mary as their mother, which is the fifth and final thing that we make reparation for. And when we think of these mysteries, they can be summed up with the words of Saint Teresa of Calcutta, who wrote, "It is better to light a match than to curse the darkness." It's better to light a match than it is to curse the darkness. The darkness is represented by the sorrowful mysteries. But the darkness is not meant to be the final dwelling place. It's connected to the light of our Lord's passion and his glory. They come together. The agony in the garden is connected to the ecstasy of the resurrection. The scourging at the pillar, in which Jesus' body was desecrated, is connected to the Assumption of Mary, in which his mystical body is elevated. Jesus is crowned with thorns and made a mock king of the political heaven of this world and the sorrowful mysteries. But Mary, she's crowned with grace and made the glorified queen of heaven in the fifth glorious mystery. Jesus carries his cross for the Father in the sorrowful mysteries, but he is carried to the Father in his ascension in the glorious mysteries. And then finally, in his crucifixion, Jesus commends his spirit to the Heavenly Father. But at Pentecost, he and the Father convey and send the Holy Spirit upon the church for the glory of the Father. Agony is connected to ecstasy. Sorrow is connected to glory. This is the natural flow of things in our world. Why? It's because God wanted to show us in the mystery of our lives that heaven and earth, the bodily and the spiritual, the material and the immaterial, are connected. Think about this. What's a ghost? It's a soul without a body. What's a corpse? It's a body without a soul. They are both the things of horror movies because we naturally know they go together. There's a connection between them. Just as our bodies and souls are connected, the material and the immaterial, so too is earth and heaven. Our earthly squares, by God's grace, are turned into heavenly cubes. Think of a square, cube. Or our earthly curves can turn into a hellish downward spiral. There clearly is a connection, but what determines if we end up in that heavenly cube or that downward spiral? The answer is our choice to take up our cross and embrace the joy that we were made for. Aquinas tells us joy is the conscious embrace of the good. And we conscientiously embrace the good when we embrace God's will for our lives, because he always wants what's best for us, to elevate us, to lift us up. But when our will contradicts God's will, we throw a curve in his plan. Then we get a cross. See, we often run from the cross because it's hard. But this meme that I saw explains that it's not the hard that we should run from. It's the hard that we actually should be running to. Listen and see what I mean. Taking time is hard. Being busy is hard. Choose your hard. Obesity is hard. But being fit is hard. Choose your hard. Being in debt is hard. Being financially disciplined is hard. Choose your hard. Communication is hard. But not communicating is hard. Choose your hard. Life will never be easy. It usually is hard. But we can choose our hard. So pick wisely. Now, if we wisely choose our hard, we wisely choose to do God's will, even when it's hard, we can connect it to joy and find the glories of heaven, even here in this life. But if we foolishly choose our hard, irrationally choose to simply do what's easy, we can connect it to misery. And then we'll wonder, why can't I find happiness? See, the saints, they're not people without hard problems. They usually actually have more than people ever imagine. Like Mother Teresa, after her death, it was discovered that she had 30 years of spiritual dryness. 30 years. But she still served the poor and loved others. You see, the saints are those people who deal with their problems, deal with what's hard, with heroic virtue. They allow what's hard to turn them into heroes. And a hero is not someone simply who can lift cars off of people or give a homily and 3,000 people are converted, although that would be heroic and nice, you know. Most of us, however, are not called to that kind of heroic virtue. But we are called to be a hero. See, a hero is this. It's simply doing the ordinary things with our extraordinary God. This is why we must look to the Queen Mother of the heroes as an example. And why this fifth blasphemy against Mary is so horrific. People need to know about our Blessed Mother. They need an example of a hero. Better than the Avengers. Better than Wonder Woman 84. The Queen of Heaven. Now, if joy results from embracing a conscience good, by hiding our Blessed Mother from people, we are actually keeping them from the joy that God has made for them. Our Blessed Mother is one of the greatest goods that were ever created. Pope Benedict XVI even tells us that in honoring our Blessed Mother, this helps us to embrace the good of following Scripture. He wrote, "The Church neglects one of the duties enjoined upon her when she does not praise Mary. She deviates from the word of the Bible when her Marian devotion falls silent. Because the scripture says, from this day, all generations will call me blessed." Now, telling people about Mary and her love for them also helps people with the good of their eternal salvation. After all, one day all of us will stand before Jesus. And on that day, Jesus will look at you and say, one of two things. He'll say, "Hey, weren't you the one who insulted my mother by telling people to ignore her, to desecrate pictures of her, or to tell people to speak ill of her?" Gulp. Or he'll say, "Hey, Bob or Susie," or fill in your own name, "come on in. My mother's spoken very highly of you, because I've heard you've spoken very highly of her." Helping people to know about Mary can also help them in life. So listen to some of these quotes from the saints. Saint Ignatius of Antioch in the early second century wrote, "He who is devoted to the Virgin Mary will certainly never be lost." Aquinas wrote, "As sailors are guided by a star to a port, so Christians are guided to heaven by Mary." The mystic Saint Bridget of Sweden would write, "There is no sinner in the world, however much at enmity with God, who cannot recover God's grace by recourse to Mary and asking her assistance." Then Saint Anselm wrote, "The whole universe was created by God, and God was born of Mary. He who could create all things from nothing would not remake his ruined creation without Mary. God, then, is the father of the created world, and Mary, the mother of the recreated world. God is the father by whom all things were given life, Mary, the mother, through whom all things were given new life. Without God's Son, nothing could exist. Without Mary's Son, nothing could be redeemed." So St. Louis Marie de Montfort would say, all of us, to honor this mother who loves us, let us aim for perfection. Jesus gave himself to us through Mary. And now, let us give ourselves back to him through Mary. If Mary was Jesus' chosen vessel to unite himself to us, you can see why it would hurt his sacred heart if she's not good enough for us. So as we close these reflections on these five first Saturdays, we see that it is better to strike a match than to curse the darkness. It's better to turn reparation into consolation for the hearts of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph than to let people walk in the darkness. It's better to allow joy, the joyful mysteries, to enlighten, the luminous mysteries, enlighten us in our sorrows, the sorrowful mysteries. So as Psalm 35 notes, though the sorrow may last for the night, but joy and glory comes with the morning. Let's take up the challenge to be a hero. Let's do those ordinary things with our extraordinary God. Let's console the heart of our dear Mother Mary, who loves us so much. Let's make a conscious effort to grow in devotion to Mary by maybe wearing a miraculous medal, saying three Hail Marys for our Blessed Mother's intentions, praying the rosary, or most of all, spending time with her and her beloved Son in the Blessed Sacrament. Let's make sure that we know we have a mother who loves us. And let's let the world know that same thing. I'll end with this quote from St. Anthony Mary Claret, who wrote, "Mary is the heart of the church. This is why all works of charity spring for her. It is well known that the heart has two movements, systolic and diastolic. Thus, Mary always performs these two movements, absorbing grace from her most holy Son, and then pouring it forth upon us, her children. May we always continue to drink from the fountain of our dear mother's love, The stream that flows from the living waters, who is Christ our Lord. So that we, in honoring Our Lady in these first Saturday devotions, will never thirst again. God bless you all.